thankful for God. But I'll tell you, we just had Veterans Day the other day, and I'm so thankful for the men and women who have served in to protect this country. And you know what I'm thankful for? I'll just read the first little bit. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Amen. A lot of times they like to forget that second part, right? Yeah. The free exercise. They think that it's to ban religion everywhere. No, really, it's so we can come in today, but not just here. We can worship in our homes, but not just in our homes, not just in our church, but everywhere we go. And I'll tell you, I'm thankful for that, although our government doesn't always get that, but I'm glad that we have the freedoms we have in this country. It's an amazing country to live in, so we should be thankful for that. But Colossians chapter 1 is where we'll be at today. Thankful for God. He's such a good God, and man, I tell you what a blessing to be where we're at. He knows what we need, and I'm thankful for that today. Colossians, we're going to be in chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 9. So this is the kind of an opening to the book of Colossians. In verse 9, we see after the introduction, Paul starts a prayer, and he starts telling what he's praying for them about. So we're going to look at that. Colossians 1:9 says this: For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for the songs, the testimonies, your spirit that we felt. Lord, I pray the same spirit would help me to preach. Help us to listen. Lord, open up our ears and our hearts for what you have for us today. Lord, we're so thankful that you've given us this house and the freedom to be able to come in and to worship you today. We ask these things in Jesus' name and amen.
Amen.
So Paul is in prison writing this. He's in a Roman prison, and he emphasizes in the book of Colossians that Christ is the head of the church. And we know that this city was kind of the door to the east, the door to the Orient there from the Roman Empire. So in the beginning, the first few verses, Paul mentions how he tells them, I have heard of your faith in Christ. That's a good thing, right? When a church has a good reputation like that. And not only have I heard of your faith in Christ, but I've heard your love. And not only did many people tell me, but he mentions verse 7, Epaphras also brought the same witness, and he declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And you think, what a blessing to have that good report. And a lot of times we pray for things that are problems, don't we? We pray for, you know, if we heard a church down the road that was once solid, is split apart and is, questioning everything, we'd be praying for them, wouldn't we? Lord, put them back on the straight and narrow way. Lord, get them back rooted and grounded for the truth.
Yeah.
But Paul got a good report of the Colossians. And you know what? He's praying for them anyway. Why? So that they'll continue. That's why we pray, right, for one another. We pray for each other, even when things are going all right. And we pray for other churches that God would continue to use them and we could grow in wisdom together. Why? Because we're all fulfilling the same great commission, aren't we? We're all doing the same job that God has called us to do. And there he is, Paul, praying without ceasing from prison. You know, Paul could have been spending a lot of prayers on himself, right? I would get out of here and that I could go do different things. But he realized that if I'm here, I'm going to be used of God. So I'm going to pray. They can lock me up and prevent me from going to Colossae and being an encouragement to them in person. But Paul said, you know what? They can't stop me from praying for them. And that's what he continued to do. But here in verse 10, I believe as he's talking about this prayer, I believe this verse 10, this is the goal of a Christian life. Right here, just all summarized into one verse, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. First, he says we need to walk worthy. As a Christian person, we've got to walk worthy. We need our lives to be worthy, the way we live, worthy of our calling. Remember who we are. We're sons of God, aren't we, as Christian people? We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That, I'm telling you what, that means something. We've been given a new life in Jesus Christ that we're saved. We've got the Holy Spirit dwelling within. We've got free grace and strength and wisdom from God. And like we said before, we have been blessed beyond measure. So we need to walk accordingly of what God has done for us on the inside. We've been given so much. And he says, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Well, that sentence is a little backward from what we would say. Really, he's saying we walk worthy so that way we please the Lord all the time. It's kind of the way we would say it. Our lives need to live in a way that pleases God.
Yeah.
The devil wants us to please ourselves. The devil wants us to please everyone else except for God. But we need to please the Lord, the same one. And that's what leads us to being fruitful in every good work. So then you stop and think about it. How's your walk today? Are you walking worthy to the salvation you've been given? Are you walking worthy to the blessings you've been given, to all of these things? And I think about one of my favorite Bible characters is Enoch. I just started reading through the Bible again from the beginning. And Enoch there is described in Genesis 5:22. It says that he walked with God. And then later, Hebrews 11:5 says that he pleased God. Yeah. And Enoch, one of the things we know about him is he lived in a wicked time, just before the flood. There was wickedness everywhere, evil everywhere. God was about to send judgment. Does that sound familiar, right, to today that we're living in? Wickedness flourishing, but then there's a man that refuses to walk with the wickedness of all those around him. And Enoch said, you know what? I'm not walking with the world. I'm walking with God. And you know what? I'm not going to please the world. I'm going to please God. And I'll tell you what, that's what we should strive for today. That's how I want to leave this world. I don't know about you, but living a life pleasing to my Lord and Savior. I don't know. I don't know when God's coming to you. I don't know when Jesus is calling his church home. And because of that, we've got to live every day as if it's today.
Yeah.
And the only way we're going to be successful at that is if we have the true knowledge of God and his will. Right? That's what he says. That's what he talks about. You've got to have all of that so to live, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. If you put those three things together, that is a strong Christian life right there.
Yeah.
And that's where God wants us to be. Well, how do we do it? Verse 11. What's it say? Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Right? We've already heard today. Life isn't easy, is it? Life isn't always, things don't always come easy.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, we've got the glorious, isn't that what he describes it? The glorious power of God inside of us, helping us to do his good will. Isn't that amazing to think about? We've got God's power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that we have to do what he's called us to do.
Amen.
It would be impossible if it was on our own, but I'm glad that we are doing it on his strength. I'll tell you what, if you find out you're not strong enough, that's good. That just means to turn to the one who is, right? Work on his power and his strength. Oh, I wish the verse stopped right there. Then he says, unto all patience, right? No matter what the circumstance, no matter what it feels like, no matter if it feels good or not, we've got to trust God. We can't give up, right? Even if things aren't happening as fast as we want them to happen, we can't give up. We've got to look for God's promises. Now, here's the strange part, is it says with all patience and long suffering. And a lot of times you would think, well, isn't long suffering patience? Why would he say both? When he says patience, he's talking about circumstances. When he says long suffering, he's talking about people. I want you to be patient with people. Ooh, Well, I don't want to hear. Do you want to hear that, Jimmy? I don't want to hear that, right? He says, be patient with people. Long-suffering. You realize God is long-suffering for us? Thank goodness He is. He is merciful, and He is forgiving, and He is patient with us. He says, I want you to be that same way with others. We've got to be slow to anger. We got to be quick to forgive. We've got to do all those things. And I'll tell you what, for all the people that I get tired of Christians that are that will say, you know what? I'm not forgiving that person. They've done too much against me. Or I'm just not going to talk to them anymore. That drives me crazy, Brother Ted. Because I want to tell you what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 2:10 and 11. If we refuse to forgive others, this is what Paul warned. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
Yeah.
Unforgiveness opens a door for Satan to work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Haven't you seen it before?
Yeah.
Haven't you seen it tear up families?
Absolutely.
Tear up homes? Where does it start with? Unforgiveness.
Yeah.
How does he tear up churches? How does he tear up people's minds?
Yes.
They won't forgive themselves.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
Tears it up. When Adam fell, they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They lost their inheritance. They lost these things. They lost paradise. But through Jesus Christ, aren't you God? Look what it says in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What Adam lost when he sinned, what Adam and Eve lost, we gained in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing that we now have an inheritance? We lost it all. We threw it away. Sin took it away. But aren't you glad that grace restored everything?
Yeah.
Praise God. We can live in this dark world because God has given us light. We can see clearly because of that.
Yeah.
We couldn't before. We've got the Holy Spirit in our heart. We've got the Bible to help illuminate our path. And you think about it. Think about how you used to view this world as a lost person. Do you remember? Think about how you used to rationalize things and how your mind worked. Aren't you glad your mind is new and we have the mind of Christ? And we don't have this garbage thought that used to be. I tell you what, I'm glad I don't think like the world. I get tired of the way this world thinks. I'm glad that I've got a Bible that tells me the truth and lights that illuminates in all the dark places. And I tell you what, the devil tries to deceive, but as soon as you start getting his word in your heart and in your mind, that deception has no power anymore. Praise God. But you see the difference? Verse 13. You see what the difference is? Who had delivered us from the power of darkness. Aren't you glad we have been delivered? And he starts thanking God in verse 12. See, he's talking about salvation in 12, 13, and 14.
Yeah.
And as he's talking about salvation, he's giving thanks for that. Thank God that he delivered us from the power of darkness. Thank God, because it is a real power. We talked about it in Sunday school. There is a real power of evil in this world.
Yeah.
If you can't see it, I'll tell you what. These leaders, we think they're powerful. The one behind the leader is the powerful one.
Right, yeah.
It's the devil. He's got dominion and control.
Yeah.
And you know what it takes to overcome someone as powerful as the devil? You've got to get a stronger than he, right? That's what the Bible talks about. In order to bind the strong man up, you've got to get one that's even stronger. And aren't you glad that Jesus Christ, he's the one that is so powerful, he can deliver us even from the clutches of Satan? Aren't you glad that the grave couldn't hold him, death couldn't keep him or anything else? But as soon as he rose from the dead, he shattered that power over darkness so that men and women could call on the name of Jesus for salvation. Aren't you glad? You think about that. Praise his name. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. Oh, but the last part of this verse really blessed me. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. You know, when we think of the word translate, I don't know if what comes to your mind, but what comes to my mind is, you know, we would go on a mission trip and we'd have a translator. We'd be down in Central America, they'd speak Spanish. We don't. Well, some of us do, a little bit. That translator would take English and turn it into Spanish. And then would take the Spanish and turn it back into English, right? That's what we think about. They change it. Something we didn't understand, or barely did, to where we could perfectly understand it. They exchanged it from one language to another. But you know, in the Bible, that word translate has a bigger meaning. Remember, I already spoke of Enoch. And I'm working on the beginning of Hebrews chapter 11. I'm working on memorizing that chapter. Actually, so I memorized my favorite Old Testament chapter. That's Isaiah 53. Yeah. And now I'm working on my favorite New Testament. That's Hebrews 11. So I'm in the first couple verses, and then I see Enoch, and it blesses me. Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he believed God. Well, he uses translation three times, and it doesn't make sense. If you're talking about English to Spanish, you know what he was talking about? Well, I'll help you out here. Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So there he was, walking along, pleasing God, and then all of a sudden, he was translated from this earth, and he was translated into heaven. He went from one place to the other, just like that. He's a picture of the rapture, if you haven't got that in the Old Testament. God took him from earth to paradise. You know where Enoch's at today? He's in heaven. That's where he's at today. God hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. When you and I call on Jesus' name for salvation, you know what he does? He instantly takes us from one kingdom to another. Oh, but wait a second. Our body's still on earth, right? We didn't get translated like Enoch did. Oh, but on the inside, there's an instant translation. It might as well have been from English to Spanish or Spanish to English, because everything has changed. Now, our body doesn't instantly go to heaven like Enoch did, but I'll tell you what, that bondage that we had to the devil and sin is immediately broken. We're free in Jesus Christ. Our heart and soul, everything's changed. And I'll tell you what, you could have looked at me, and you're probably the same. If you'd have been there in that living room in Ashley when I was 9 years old and watched me kneel down and pray, and then see me say amen and stand up. I stood up the same height I knelt down. I look the same. I still look 9 years old. Nothing changed on the outside. Ah, but I tell you what, on the inside, everything was translated. It was all changed on the inside. Everything was made new in a new creature. I'll tell you what, you may not have seen what happened, but everything changed. My old stony heart was replaced with a heart of flesh. That's what the Bible said. The Holy Spirit inside, the mind of Christ, and all of these things, and my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus did, and all of those things happened, and I was delivered from darkness into the kingdom of his light, in Jesus' kingdom. I'll tell you what, we could just stop right there and thank God just for that he saved us. We could take the rest of the day and do that. Thank you, God, because you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believing in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But you know what? He goes on. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Jesus paid the price, didn't he? That's what redemption means. We had a price on our life because of sin. The price was death. And that's what we were going to pay. But aren't you glad that he bought us from the slave market of sin? Right, Hosea? You get that picture from that book? Jesus gave us life. He set us free. And he shed his blood. And by his stripes we are healed. Praise God. All of those things. And it reminds me, I don't know if you've ever heard the group, the Tally Trio. They sing this song called His Life for Mine. Here's part of it. How could it ever be that he would die? God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine. He gave his life for mine. And I'll tell you what. You think about that. He gave his life. Now he belongs to me, right? His life belongs to me. Because his death paid my price. And I have life because of him. His resurrection brought me life as well. But you know what? Now my life belongs to him. It's the opposite as well. That's what redemption, that's what you see in Hosea. He bought her. Remember his wife. She went away and she went and whored him and all those things and left him and committed adultery. But even in her lowest state when she was given away, he went and bought her back.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he's done for us?
Yeah.
Praise God. But our life belongs to the one who redeemed us today. It belongs to him. But do you notice something? Verses 12 through 14 talk about salvation. But verses 10 and 11 talk about good works of serving Jesus Christ with our lives. And you know what? I don't know if I've emphasized this enough. But
But salvation and good works go together. They go together.
I'll prove it to you. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's not what we do. It's not rituals or anything like that. We get saved by grace through faith, not by good works. But the next verse says this.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Yeah.
Our salvation, right? Our translation, our new birth, going from one kingdom to the other, all that happens on the inside. How would anyone know what happens if we don't serve him afterward?
Right?
How would anyone know if we don't walk by faith? How would anyone know if our actions don't change? And if we, when we dedicate our lives to Jesus Christ, we show people around us what happened on the inside. We show them what he's done. And you know what? He's thanking God when he gets to the salvation part, right? He says, giving thanks, doesn't he? In verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father for all those things that you did when you saved us. And you realize many times we come in here, we give thanks for him. And a lot of times when we pray to God, we give thanks. Thank you for saving my soul.
Yes.
But you know, it's even more powerful way to give thanks to God, more powerful than your lips, is to thank God with your life. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Is to serve him and to walk by faith and to trust him and to say, God, I don't understand. This doesn't make sense, but I love you and I just want to do what you called me to do, and it's scary and I don't know how I'm going to do it, but God, you said you would be there and I'm trusting you. That is how we give thanks to the Lord, when we walk worthy of him, when we please him with our lives. That is how we say thanks to you, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Do you see? They go together. You can't pull them apart. You can't say, well, Mike, I'm going to go, and I'm going to come, and I'm going to give my heart to the Lord, and I'm going to really be thankful for it, and then I'm not going to do anything he's called me to do. You're not being thankful.
Right.
You're being unthankful.
That's right?
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
He's bought you with a price. And you're saying, thank you, God, for saving my soul, for getting rid of my sins, but I'm going to ignore the fact that you own me now.
Yep.
We don't like to hear that, but I tell you what, we can walk worthy of God. But where are you at today? Remember I said verse 10 is a summary, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Take those three things. If you're a Christian person, how are you doing? Right? How are you doing? Are you walking worthy? Right? Are you being fruitful? Are the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, do we see it coming out of your life? Do we see evidence of the change? And are you increasing in the knowledge of God? Because that's what Paul, without ceasing, was saying. You have a good testimony to the Colossian church. But it's so easy to turn from that. It's so easy in that wicked city. It was so easy when they had false religion around them to swerve from one side or the other. And it was so easy for them, and it's so easy for us. That's why we have to continue and say, you know what? The closer you get to God, the harder it is for the devil to lure you away. And I've said it before. I've watched many, many grow up in church, solid family, and then go off to college. And you know what I found a lot of times? The deciding factor was this. Not how well the parents did. Not how well, not if they were involved in this or that. But did they serve the Lord before they went out on their own? Right? You'll find the ones that walked by faith, the ones that did things for the Lord before they left, a lot of them are still with God.
Mm.
Didn't matter how much truth was preached. Didn't matter how much truth was taught. If it was before they went off, were they serving God? You know what got me through a lot? Is the fact that I had to trust God. Trust God to get up in front of people and play the piano. I was deathly shy. You won't believe it now, but I was. Trust God to do different things. And he was there, and I knew he was real. What about you? Are you walking with God? Are you pleasing Him? Because one day, He's going to call the church home.
Yes.
One day, you know what they say, the word rapture is not in the Bible. You're right, but the word translate is.
That's
so
right.
We'll just call it that. Amen. One day, He's going to translate the church, and we're going to be gone.
Yeah.
Will you be ready?
Man.
Will you be ready? Because at that point, you can't serve Him anymore down here.
That's right.
We're going to have to stand before Him and give an account for everything we've done. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, there's no better life.
Yeah.
There is a power over you that you don't even realize. There is a darkness over you. There's a deception over you. There's a grip on your life. But Jesus, just as He defeated the grave, just as He rose from the dead, He can break all of that just like that.
That's right.
If you would believe that He took the sins of the world on the cross, died for your sins, rose on the third day, you believe in that, admit you're a sinner, and you call on Jesus' name, and on the inside, He can translate you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, just like that.
Amen.
Aren't you glad? If you don't know Jesus today, you need to.
Yes.
You need to.
Amen.
And if you know Jesus today, it's all right to get more serious with Him.
Right.
Dedicate your life to Him and focus on Him. Pleasing Him. This world will say, no, you can't. You can't please God with all your life. Yeah, you can. You can. Oh, we fail. Oh, the devil tempts all the time. He throws things in front of us. But I'll tell you what, every time I've turned to God over this world, I've never regretted it. Can you say the same thing?
Amen.
He's given me a wonderful life that I never could imagine. One that I would have never seen. And all I got to say is thank you, Lord. We're going to ask everyone to stand today.